Good morning, everyone. Jesus began the famous Beatitudes right at the beginning of the first sermon that we are aware of by Jesus, right at the beginning of Matthew's Gospel. And he said this, very perplexingly and surprisingly. He said, those who recognize their poverty of spirit, they're blessed, they're happy, they know the good news. And they have a real taste of the inheritance of heaven. Well, there are several things there that many people find perplexing. One of them is this reference to heaven. A lot of people are very perplexed about heaven. What is heaven? And if your children or grandchildren or godchildren or nephews or nieces ask you what is heaven, will you come out confidently with an answer? Or will you start talking about cricket or the weather? What is heaven? Well, I like to describe heaven as God's space. God's space. And of course, many people think vaguely that it's to do with the sky or, well, nowadays with modern telescopes and space research, we know that it's not up there beyond the clouds. But many people still have that vague idea. I think one of the best clues to heaven is in the Lord's Prayer, which we all know so well. May your will be done, Jesus taught us to say. May your will be done in earth, where we live, as it is in heaven. May your way be followed like it is in your space, where you are. It's very difficult to imagine a culture, a context, where everybody follows God's way all the time, isn't it? Beyond our understanding. And yet, here and now, we can experience shafts of the light of heaven. Whenever we find untrammeled truth and unrivaled love and utter kindness and justice, even when it's sacrificial, heaven. God's will done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, the Beatitudes, well, I think a lot of people have the idea that the Beatitudes are the kind of New Testament version of the Old Testament Ten Commandments. You know, you've got these famous Ten Commandments in the Old Testament. They're not all thou shalt not. There are several exceptions, but they're famous for the thou shalt nots, aren't they? Some people think that the Beatitudes are a sort of New Testament version. But they're very, very different, aren't they? Very, very different. In actual fact, there are no commands at all in the Beatitudes. And in actual fact, it's better to think of them as not good advice, as good news. Good news. So one famous scholar was trying to work out how to translate this first word in each beatitude, which is the word blessed, or the Greek word for happy. And yet it means so much more than that. So he suggested that we translate it, What good news! What good news that those who know they're poor in spirit know the reality of heaven. What good news that is! It's not a question of you pulling up your socks, turning over a new leaf. It's good news from God. And, of course, one of the big mistakes about even the Ten Commandments is that they just hammer us over the head with, you've got to do this and you've got to do that. But of course, the Ten Commandments begin with redemption, with rescue. The very first commandment begins like this: I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of slavery, out of bondage, and brought you into a new life. Therefore, you're not to have any other gods. So even the commandments are based on good news. But of course, when we turn to the New Testament, unequivocally, the first four books are called Gospels, aren't they? Gospels, the old Anglo-Saxon word for good news. Good news. So, we've got to be so careful, haven't we, as Christians, not to give the idea that being a follower of Jesus Christ is some kind of miserable, desperate search for God. And Christians are sort of pretty miserable people. No, quite the reverse. We should be known for our joyfulness. That should be one of the characteristic marks of being a follower of Jesus Christ. And you remember that Christmas was marked by the angels coming and announcing, we bring you good tidings of great joy. Christmas was marked by good news. And even Easter, the tragedy, the awfulness of Friday, came to be known as Good News Friday. Extraordinary. Extraordinary. So, some of us may have to do a little bit of rethinking about the Beatitudes. What is heaven? Are they good news? Or another set of heavy weights placed upon us? Are we joyful about all this good news? So, the Beatitudes are God's view of good news. The world might whisper in your ear this kind of beatitude: happy are those who are self-satisfied, who reckon they've got just about everything they need. But Jesus says, how fortunate, what good news to those who recognize their spiritual poverty and know that they desperately need God. And it's that good news that we've got to share with our families and our neighbors and our colleagues and our friends. Extraordinary good news. But it's strange language. Poor in spirit. I mean, we don't often use that phrase, do we? Can you think of any time in the last few weeks or months or even years when you've talked to someone in the pub or the cafe or at the golf club or whatever about being poor in spirit? It's all foreign stuff, isn't it? But it's language that's quite common in the Bible, quite frequent. And one of the most famous examples of many, many I could have chosen this morning is to be found in Psalm 34, verse 18. Remember, this is Jesus' hymn book. He would have sung from this hymn book every Sabbath day in the synagogue. And once a month he would have sung this psalm that includes these words: "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." God's message is a very special message for those who are having a tough time. And I know that quite a number of you in the congregation this morning are having a tough time. But of the ones of you that I don't know about, I expect quite a lot of you are having a tough time as well. And God has a special concern for those who are broken, those who are crushed. But all of us need to know that spiritually speaking, in terms of the deep convictions of our hearts, we are not where we ought to be often in God's presence. So some of you may feel, oh, this has been awfully theoretical so far. I wish we could have had some stories. Okay, Jesus loved stories, so can I finish with one of his stories, one of his most famous stories? I'm not going to accept the temptation of trying to put it into modern situation and apply it to St. Mary's Haddenham. I'd like you to do that on your way home or over lunch. But it went a bit like this. There were two people who went up to the temple in Jerusalem and they were going to pray. And one of them lifted up his eyes, probably waved his hands, and he said, "I thank you, God, that things are pretty good. And I give a tenth of everything I have, and I give extra to those who are poor and in need. And I'm glad I'm not like this other guy over there. He's not well thought of. And I'm a Pharisee, and people really look up to me because I spend all my life trying to follow your commandments." And the other guy who'd come up to pray had a very difficult time in the community. People looked down on him because his job was a tax collector, and that meant he was a quisling working for the occupying power, the Roman Empire. People hated him, despised him, but he still had some faith in God. But he couldn't look up. He kept his eyes firmly down and he beat his breast. And he said, "God, be merciful to me. I know I'm all messed up." And Jesus finished the story by saying, which one do you think went home more right with God? And so we finish again by remembering that the world might whisper in your ear, happy are those who reckon that they're pretty well all right, self-satisfied. But Jesus gave as the very first beatitude, good news to those who recognize that they're spiritually poor and they really need God. They're beginning to taste heaven. Amen.